It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Just ahead, a study finds the Ohio Valley is highly vulnerable to job losses due to a coming wave of automation. We'll have that story from the Ohio Valley Resource just ahead. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Ohio Valley has seen its share of workplace disruption with job losses in manufacturing and energy sectors. But a recent report warns that thousands of the region's service, transportation, office, and warehouse jobs could also be at risk. This time, the threat is a coming wave of automation. Becca Schimmel explores what automation can mean and how the region might adapt.
Amazon employee Andre Woodson makes his way among yellow bins traveling through a large warehouse filled with boxes and envelopes ready to be sorted.
So our Jeffersonville, Indiana fulfillment center is about 1.2 million square feet, which is equivalent to about 28 football fields.
Looking out across the floor, it's hard to find a human among the boxes and conveyor belts. When we do find one of the 2,500 employees at this facility, they're often working with the machinery.
So here at our ergonomic pack stations, our great associates interact with the technology to package customer orders.
There are about 20 Amazon fulfillment and distribution centers like this in Kentucky and Ohio. Some are the host town's main employer. About 20% of the workforce in Campbellsville, Kentucky, for example, works at Amazon. UPS and other product delivery services have a large presence in the region as well, and all are likely to make more use of automation. Michael Gritton is executive director at Kentuckiana Works, a nonprofit organization focused on workforce development.
We have a lot of what we call pick and pack warehouse facilities, and those facilities have a lot of people in them, but they also have a lot of computers and robots. And over time, you would expect those facilities to have fewer people and more computers and robots.
That has planners like Gritton concerned about what rapid automation could bring. A Brookings Institution report shows about one quarter of all jobs in the Ohio Valley region have a high chance of being wiped out by automation. That could lead to disruptions in employment and greater income disparity. Gritton worries that could result in more people moving to the bottom of the earning scale.
That doesn't seem to be a recipe for a happy Kentucky, a happy Louisville, or a happy America. And so that's the conversation the country's going to be having about this change as it happens.
Gritton says education is going to be key in adjusting to changes in the workforce. He says government leaders need smarter strategies to invest in people more than one time in their life.
But I think it's a big open question. Who pays for that? How does it get paid for? And why would it benefit us if the state or the federal government invested in that?
The Brookings report places Kentucky second among states with the highest share of jobs at risk from automation. Ohio comes in 13th and West Virginia is 16th. The report also shows that education makes places and people better able to adapt. Mark Muro is the lead author of the report.
You know, we call it in promoting a constant learning mindset, but it can't simply be the responsibility only of the workers. The whole system has got to change.
Muro says the way the education system is set up now doesn't encourage lifelong learning and the constant development of new skills. He says people need affordable ways to develop the skills that are uniquely human by investing time into becoming creative problem solvers and developing interpersonal skills.
Get better at being human. What we should not do is try to compete with the robots, because they will always do a better job at basic rote tasks.
Not everyone sees automation as the great risk some predict. Jared Bernstein is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He says the problem with the argument that robots are coming to take jobs is that the country is creating about 240,000 jobs a month and unemployment is low.
I don't mean everything is fine by a long shot, but I think people face a lot of economic challenges that don't have all that much to do with automation and have a lot to do with just their personally weak bargaining power.
Bernstein says automation has changed jobs for those who have reskilled and made themselves complementary to the machines. He says it's the responsibility of the government to push companies like Amazon in the right direction.
And they can set the wages of their workers. They can make those jobs lousy or they can make them good. And that's a role for public policy, to basically push them pretty hard in the direction of good.
Automation has always led to disruptions in the workforce ever since agriculture was the primary occupation. The difference now is that change is happening faster.
We as a country had 140 years to move from an agricultural society to an industrial society. 140 years, we could adapt to anything with that kind of warning time. But now things are changing over a weekend.
That's Jane Oates, president of Working Nation, a national nonprofit focused on what it calls the looming unemployment crisis. She says employers should bear the responsibility of preparing workers for the future. But she says the government has a role to play as well.
When you allow federal dollars to be spent for incumbent worker training, that sends a clear message that if an employer wants to do the right thing, there are government dollars that could assist there.
That sort of proactive policy could be the difference as automation changes the workforce. Without it, it's possible that a place like the Ohio Valley could be left further behind. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Government and business leaders in far west Kentucky celebrated a ribbon-cutting ceremony Saturday for a new industrial hemp processing facility in Ballard County. Liam Niemeyer from member station WKMS reports county officials believe it's just the start of hemp industry investment in the region.
Cutting the green and white ribbon only took a minute, but for AirSource H co-founder Deborah Pape, the ceremony is a short break from her busy schedule.
We are also going to be starting an expansion project right away because we already can't meet customer demand.
AirSource H is already shipping CBD extract from hemp. They've hired 36 full-time and part-time positions. Pape plans to hire more as the company buys additional processing equipment to keep up with demand. Ballard County officials say the $2.5 million renovated facility is just the start of a growing hemp industry in the region. Lexington-based Gencana is also building a hemp processor in nearby Mayfield. I'm Liam Niemeyer in Murray.
West Virginia Governor Jim Justice has fired State Transportation Secretary and Highways Commissioner Tom Smith. Justice announced Smith's firing in a brief statement Sunday. The governor says he wants a new direction for the department, including a return to the core mission of maintaining the quality of our secondary roads and bridges. Voters in 2017 passed a referendum for the state to sell $1.6 billion in bonds to finance state road repairs and construction. In his State of the State address in January, Justice proposed steering road bond money meant for major projects towards repairing secondary roads. On Friday, Justice said he would announce his plans Wednesday to accelerate secondary road repairs and maintenance. The governor said, "Our secondary roads aren't being addressed with the urgency needed." This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Mostly sunny skies today, high temperatures in the 50s. Mostly clear overnight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Mostly sunny Tuesday with highs in the 40s and 50s. And partly cloudy skies Wednesday with highs in the 50s and 60s. The quarterly meeting of the Friends of West Virginia Public Broadcasting is set for Wednesday, March 13th, beginning at 12:30 p.m. Located at the West Virginia Public Broadcasting headquarters at 600 Capitol Street, Charleston. The public is invited to attend. Across the state, high schools offer career and technical education to give students a leg up in their field before graduating. These programs can include skilled trades like welding or shop classes or meat processing. Corey Nolinger reports.
What you're hearing is an auction tucked away in a New Martinsville 4-H camp in a pretty standard-looking room. There's a small stage up front where two auctioneers stand, denim clad and wearing cowboy hats, securing bids on something a little unusual: ham, bacon, and eggs. That may seem a little strange, but this isn't your ordinary breakfast fare. The entire process for the meat and poultry is overseen by high school students in Wetzel County. Magnolia High School agriculture instructor Scott Ash explains.
We have about 20 kids involved in the program this year. They all take an animal and raise it from young to all the way through the process. They raise an animal to about 250 to 300 pounds. And then we send the animal to a USDA slaughterhouse. And here in the meat facility, we break down the carcass. We process the hams and the bacon.
This is part of Wetzel County's Career and Technical Education Program, which, like many CTE programs throughout the state, try to help give students a chance to learn hands-on career skills while still in high school. One of these students is Bailey Fayad, who loves the life lessons this program has taught her.
It's honestly a great thing to get into because it also shows you a lot of responsibility for outside of school and environment and stuff like that. It is definitely a great impact on kids that they need to do.
Along with students from Magnolia, 100, and Pine Grove High Schools, Fayad entered her ham and bacon to the Wetzel County 4-H and FFA Ham, Bacon, and Egg Sale. That's the auction you heard earlier. This event has become an institution in the county. It's in its 51st year and attracts some pretty prominent buyers, including law offices, banks, and other businesses from the community. The products can go for quite a bit of money, too, as you can hear in one of Ash's conversations with a student.
Libby, how much did you sell a ham for last year? How many dollars a pound? You don't remember? $25 a pound? That was pretty good. That's a pretty good price.
Why so much? Well, the money goes back to the students who invested a ton of time and their own money into the product. There's also each piece of meat's grade. Fayad explains the system.
Prime is kind of like a way to go, right. And choice is still pretty good.
Right.
But prime is just right before choice, and then there's your grand and your reserves. So grand champion is first place, and reserve champion is second place. And I actually received grand champion bacon, and I received prime on my ham this year.
As Fayad mentioned, she received the top prize for bacon in the county this year. This is her second time doing so, which earned her a new nickname.
Well, they are now calling me the Bacon Queen, actually, to be honest.
As the night went on, over 100 items were auctioned off. The ham and bacon were auctioned by pound, and the eggs were sold by the dozen. Once the highest bidder wins, they have the option to either keep their prize, donate it to the fire department's yearly dinner, or donate it to be sold again as a whole piece for Future Farmers of America and 4-H scholarships. Earlier in the evening, the Bacon Queen wasn't sure what she was going to get from her bacon this year. Previously, when she had a grand champion, she got around $2,000. But let's listen in to hear the auction. Remember, these are prices per pound.
$425. You say $500? $500 and a quarter! $5 and a quarter! Somebody get back there and do CPR on him! $525! Sold to you, man! $500! Give her a hand!
$500 per pound for Fayette's bacon. Crazy, right? The bacon weighed 6.7 pounds as well, equaling out to around $3,400. This is a new record for the auction, which surprised Fayette for her last county auction.
No, I actually did not expect $500 a pound. That was incredible. I feel pretty awesome right now.
Now that the county auction is done, all that's left to do is prepare for the state auction this week in Charleston. Wetzel County students will join students from all other counties with similar meat processing and FFA programs. For the American Graduate Initiative and West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger in New Martinsville.
The West Virginia State Ham, Bacon, and Eggs Show takes place tonight at Building 7 of the Capitol Complex in Charleston from 7 to 9 p.m. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.
Thank you.